They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Why is the yen gaining in value?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. As the world watches military helicopters dump seawater on the troubled nuclear plant in Japan to cool reactors and avoid a meltdown, economists are watching the Japanese currency, the yen. It's hit its highest level against the U.S. dollar since World War II. Let's continue our coverage of the human and economic disaster in Japan now with Marketplace's Stephen Beard. He's with us live from London. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, it seems like the yen would be falling right now, given all the turmoil in Japan. Why is it rising?
Well, analysts say what's happening here is that Japanese insurance companies are bringing their foreign investments home because they face insurance claims running into the tens of billions. They're selling their investments in the US and in Europe and bringing the cash home. Converting that money into yen is what's pushing up the Japanese currency, they say. But the Japanese government says, no, the yen is rising because of speculators.
Well, either way, Stephen, a good thing or a bad thing for Japan to have a rising yen right now?
In the short term, it's not that bad because it means Japan will be able to buy more of the foreign supplies it urgently needs to import. Longer term, it's bad because an expensive yen makes Japanese exports more expensive.
And what about the effect on the United States economy?
Well, there's a long-term worry here if we are seeing the Japanese taking their money home, since the US in particular has been relying on that money to pay for a big chunk of its government spending. This flight of Japanese money back to Japan could be bad for the US. Here's Steen Jacobsen of Saxo Bank.
It will leave a hole in the global recycling of capital. You can say that Japan and China has been paying for the deficit of the US and of Europe. If they stop recycling capital into this market, it leaves an empty hole which needs to be filled.
And how do you fill that empty hole? By pushing up U.S. interest rates and by cutting U.S. government spending quite sharply. And all that would hit American growth.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, the rising yen is just part of the story when it comes to the economic consequences of the disaster in Japan. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith tells us now about the effect on American companies.
Damage from the earthquake in Japan is expected to top $100 billion. Natural disasters, even huge ones, usually don't have global economic consequences, says Harvard economist Kenneth Rogoff. But he thinks this one could be different.
Particularly because of the implications for the nuclear power industry. It's very important in cars, electronics, high-end capital equipment. I mean, this is a huge, huge economy.
Bank of America released a list of the top 10 U.S. companies likely to be affected. Insurance giant Aflac headed the list. It does three-quarters of its business in Japan, and its stock has fallen 10% since the earthquake. Aflac CEO Dan Amos.
We've set up reserves for these type of events, and we should be in good shape. Now, it could change, but right now we feel comfortable with our position.
High-end retailers like Coach and Tiffany have also seen share prices fall. Japan accounts for about 20% of sales for the two companies. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Asia, though nothing like we saw earlier this week. Tokyo shares about 1.5% lower today. In Europe, stocks slightly higher at the moment. Forget Coke or Pepsi. The new question is Coke or Diet Coke? We're expected to hear today from Beverage Digest that for the first time, Diet Coke replaced Pepsi last year as the second most popular soft drink in the U.S. No sugar on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow tumbled 242 points to close at 11,613.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. and by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. For the latest business news, go to Marketplace.org and click on the Newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
Oil prices are back on the rise today, around $99 a barrel in Asia trading. They had been dropping because of concerns about the situation in Japan. But even as oil prices dropped, gas prices seem to stay the same. Here in L.A., they're around $4 a gallon. Although there do seem to be some stations with gas that is suspiciously cheap. Here to fill us up with facts is L.A. Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what gives with the gas that's slightly cheaper than the rest of the stations?
Oftentimes, gas tends to be a little more expensive when you drive around town, especially if you're nearer to a freeway or a commercial center,
right.
And that's called pricing to market. But the cheap stuff, typically, like ARCO, for example, how does ARCO get away with offering such cheap gas? I've been talking to a number of mechanics and energy experts about this, and on the one hand, they say, well, you've got your branded gas and your more generic gas,
right.
And the branded gas tends to have additives in it, and that might boost the price, but then that raises the question, are the additives any good? And the mechanics are mixed on that.
So if I go to a station at like Walmart or Costco, that's the non-branded gas, is that bad for my engine?
I wish I knew. I put that to a lot of mechanics, and most of them said gas is gas. And I think that's the major takeaway of this. On the other hand, they did say, yes, there are differences. For example, if you go to Chevron, it's got Tecron in it.
Right.
Is Tecron any good? Well, some mechanics told me, yes, it will actually help clean your engine. Others said, not so much. Maybe the generic stuff comes from the bottom of the barrel. I don't know.
So we've got pricing to market. We've got additives. Are those the only things that make the gas so different in different places?
No, I think the key thing we're looking at here is the business model. For example, ARCO. ARCO is almost always cheaper than other places around. How do they do that? They keep their gas prices low by just simply not taking credit cards, not having to pay the interchange fees that go along with that, and therefore passing those savings on to their customers. It's a model that works.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, are you sick of all the companies telling you to follow them on Twitter and Facebook? Well, the event registration website Eventbrite has come out with actual numbers about the profitability of social networking. The site says, on average, a tweet about an event brought in 80 cents in ticket sales during the past 6 months, and the average like on Facebook brought in $1.34. Liking APM Marketplace on Facebook, by the way, is priceless. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Memo to those with the oil. You know, for a peaceful and lasting Middle East, experts say everybody needs to share the wealth.
Saudi Arabia cannot sit on sovereign fund with $200 billion while people starving in Jordan or starving in Yemen.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Democracy doesn't come cheap. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.